Well, 3 months ago, it was a threat. It looked like a negotiating tactic. Now it looks like fact. Is the White House imposing tariffs of 25% on steel imports, 10% on aluminum, hitting Canada and Mexico in the EU, and they're beginning to retaliate right now and announce what they're going to put their tariffs on. It's beginning to look like war. Ambassador Ron Kirk was a former U.S. trade man and would be working right now, I guess, pretty hard to find out what the how the U.S. can get out of this. He joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
It's good to be with you, but to be sure I wouldn't be working out to get out of them, we would have probably had a much more thoughtful approach to dealing with three of our, not only three of our longest terms allies in terms of Europe, Mexico, and Canada, but these are our three biggest economic partnerships. The trade relationship between the United States, Mexico, and Canada is still the largest in the world, roughly $3 billion every day that flows between our three countries. And as you and I talk, David, ironically, the overwhelming majority of that at least flows in and out of the state of Texas. So this is going to have a negative impact on many of our businesses because, you know, the battle over economic integration was settled 20-plus years ago when NAFTA went into effect. And the bottom line is all of our tariffs basically have gone away. But we've had an economic integration of manufacturing capability, certainly farming, particularly between the U.S. and Mexico, that I think has benefited all three economies. And for whatever reason, this president has decided to take a much more aggressive and confrontational posture with three of our most reliable, strongest, strategic, military, diplomatic, and economic allies than he's taken with China and Korea. And it is nonsensical. And I think the markets aren't, and to me, it isn't about the markets. The sad thing I know firsthand, the tip of the spear for paying the price of these senseless tariff wars are, first of all, our farmers and ranchers, and then it's consumers. Because, as we said before, your listeners just need to focus on one thing. When you hear the word tariff, it's a tax, and it's a tax on you. It is a tax on consumption, no matter how else the Trump administration may try to say.
But, Mr. Ambassador, just to take the other side for a second, the argument is we've been pushed around forever. Our autos imported into China are hit with a much heavier tariff than we put on their auto parts.
David, this has nothing to do with China. The one, you know, we had a Chinese company that was blatantly, flagrantly violating the terms of a settlement agreement when we caught them acting in a manner contrary to our interests. And the president tweeted miraculously, "Oh my God, these job losses in China are tough. We got to do something." What we're doing in Mexico and Canada will have zero effect on what's happening in China.
It can't be used as a leverage point?
No, the Chinese love this. Are you kidding? I mean, the crazy part of this, putting a 25% tariff on steel that comes from China, Mexico, and Europe, which is the overwhelming majority of the steel and aluminum that we input, that we import, makes Chinese steel that much more affordable. So, I mean, the confounding thing about this, if you're thinking about this in terms of how it impacts or doesn't impact China, it creates a perverse incentive for someone to shift their purchases from the U.S., I mean, from our allies to the Chinese.
So, ultimately, is this a case of playing chicken? Is this a negotiating tactic, or how do you think this ends?
I have tried. I think, in fairness, I've gone out of my way to try and put some perspective around the Trump administration's trade policy. And in fairness, I won't even put this on the administration. This is the whimsical, arbitrary nature of this president, who, for whatever reason, takes offense and sends out a tweet and says, today, you know, it's going to be blue, tomorrow it's going to be red. And there is no logic behind this. The business community is not in favor of it. The farm community is not in favor of it. The overwhelming majority members of the president's own party have told him this is going to be counterproductive. And in the case of automobiles, for the most part, you've had most of the American automotive industry come out and say, this makes no sense. I mean, we part of our strategy, frankly, to compete with these emerging superpowers of China and India Brazil and Africa that all have over a billion people, was the recognition that we are stronger competing as an integrated North America economy than we are on our own. And that's part of the genius of NAFTA. But I can't come up with a reason for this one other than the president, for whatever reason, seems to be much more admiring and forgiving of leaders who come from countries that don't have an elected democratic leader, as they do in China and North Korea, than he does in some of our oldest and most reliable partners and friends.
Let me understand something. When you were U.S. Trade Representative, you were bargaining on and striking, you know, an accord with some foreign country on the part of the United States. Was the understanding that accord was only as good as long as, in your case, Obama was president?
No, this is, look, every president, in fairness, I mean, it is written in our trade rules and statutes that if the president makes a determination that a trade agreement is decidedly not working in our favor, that president can take steps to remedy that. And most of the times we do that by negotiation. We've never done it by going in and completely saying we don't want to play anymore, because it's just important, you cannot measure the value of an economic partnership simply by a trade deficit. And the notion that we've allowed to take root that all imports are bad is a nonsensical one, because the reality is much of what we make and sell that we then export to other countries, we need component parts, or we need raw materials that we can only get from Africa or China or some other country. So if you're importing products to make a higher-end product that you can then sell around the world, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But secondly, I'd say every administration almost up until this one has believed part of what makes the United States so respected around the world is once we shake hands and make a deal, that those countries can count on that. And because we respect the rule of law, we believe in transparency, and we believe that once we enter into a partnership with someone, that they can count on that, and they need that. And that just does not seem to be a principle that this administration is either respects or believes in.
Ambassador Ron Kirk's former U.S. trade rep and former mayor of Dallas, and still one very impressive bridge. It's good to have you with us again.
You always have to. Thank you, David. Have a good weekend. I hope your listeners have a safe one, too. Stay cool and use lots of sunscreen.
Thank you, sir. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.